All right, Numbers chapter 13, look at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Look at verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was of the time of the first ripe grapes, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended up by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Let's pray tonight. Father, Lord, I need your help tonight. Lord, I can't do this in my own power. Lord, I pray that you would just take the words that I'm going to say and just use them in whatever way is applicable in each person's life. And Father, I pray that you would just help me to live what I'm talking about. And Lord, this has been a good study for me tonight. And Lord, I pray that I could just be a blessing in some small way to some folks here, and they would just be an encouragement, a challenge, maybe just a different way to live life. And Father, I pray that you just help our pastor as he's away. Thank you for him and just the stand that he takes. And I pray that you just fill him with your power and be with him. I pray that as he ministers, that you would just go forth there and go before him. Lord, I pray that you just help me to preach with my heart, not my head, and just pray that you be honored tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. May we see it. We see here a very familiar story, and we're gonna take the jumping off place out of this Numbers chapter 13. But you all know the story about how they, they had the spies that went from each tribe, and they went to spy the land out, and that's Sunday school stuff. That's something that everybody pretty much knows. And I'm not necessarily going to talk about the individual men, although we could. But if we started to talk about the individual men, one thing that you would very quickly understand is there's only two men that you know the names of. And they're the two men that did what God wanted them to do and saw what God wanted them to see. The rest of them died somewhere in the wilderness, and honestly, you don't know their names. They're put here, just the same as Joshua and Caleb, but you don't know their names. And but that's besides the point. Tonight, I want to talk about this subject, refocus. Refocus. Now, I know I'm not a missionary, although all of us, in some way, have a mission field. We have places that we all minister to. And I think that some of this kind of goes along with looking past our area into other areas of life. But I want to talk about this, about refocusing. Most of the time, the turmoil that I have in my life, and I'm going to use a lot of personal stuff, because I think if I go through some things that maybe some of the rest of you go through some of the same things, but a lot of times it seems like the turmoil that I have in life, the problems, are because I'm not focused on the right things in life. And I'm not looking at the right, and I guess I'm a practical type person. I'm going to try to help you in a visual type of way understand what I'm talking about, okay? And I think you'll have to, you can't deny the truth of what I'm going to talk about. You may live in denial about the truth, but you can't deny the truth. It's funny, us as human beings, we have a funny, God created us, now he created women very different in this manner, I think. But guys are kind of tunnel visioned. We get something going, and it's just like, we got this. This is what occupies us. This is what controls us. It could be a lot of things. But have you ever, okay, we'll break it down to real simple stuff. You know, you're working on a car or you're working on something, and you lay a tool down, like 30 seconds ago, and you turn around and you're looking for your 7/16 wrench, and it is nowhere to be found. And you spend 10 minutes looking for a wrench, and you're about chucking stuff all over the shop and, you know, saying all 12 names of the apostles and, you know, everything that you can to, you can't find the wrench. And then you turn around and it's laying right behind you. Or it was under a shop rag that you threw down. And you're so irritated. But it wasn't that, you know, your wrench didn't get up and walk away. You probably honestly looked at it, but you didn't see it. You looked at it, but you didn't see it. I don't know how many times I've told, you know, we've told our kids, pick up your shoes out of the floor. Where? Right there. And they walk over them 3 times. No, turn around, sit down. No, you're sitting on it right there. You know what I mean? They saw it, but they didn't see it. They weren't focused on that. I've been there before. I remember my mom, you know, getting mad at me. You know, we're running 5 minutes late for school in the morning. Chad, where are your shoes? And, you know, you run around the house 4 times, and they're sitting by the door. That, you know, that type of thing. It's not being able to see the forest because of the trees. That type of thing in life. And a lot of times in life, all it is a matter of, okay, whoa, I need to refocus here. Because if you look at something and you're focused on something, that's what's going to control your life, is what you're focused on. We just did this remodel, okay? We just did this remodel in here. And if I wanted to, and those that came and those that helped and those that had a significant part, there's things that bug you about the remodel, okay? Like, I could tell you, like, this wall right here was my enemy during the remodel. I painted this wall nine times, this wall. Most of you don't know that. And it's still not right. Now all of you are going to be over there at the wall looking at the wall. But I know it's not right. But, you know, okay, listen. If I focused on that and been like, well, this, you know, somebody says, well, the church looks nice. Well, except for that wall. Well, the pews look nice, Brother Chad. Well, two of them have runs on them. Well, I can, it's what I focus on. I can focus on, okay, let's look at the big picture here. And we'll see, okay, yeah, God blessed us. God allowed us to do some nice stuff. Or I can focus on, well, this, the third pew back on the end, 4 inches from the side, has a run where the spray didn't get quite right. Now I don't know if that's the one or not. All of you are going to be, there again. Where is it? Oh. But it's what you focus on. It's what you're looking for in life. And so many times we get so tunnel visioned on what we're looking at that we miss everything else that God has for us in life. And that's where, in my life anyway, that's where my problem is most of the time. And honestly, it's me. It's me being in the way of everything else that God wants me to see in life. I've found that most times when I'm most frustrated and I can't see my way clear. And we're talking about what you see, what you're looking at, and I can't see my way clear, and I don't know which direction. And young people, you're going to be in this spot, I guarantee you. Every young person in here, or adult in here, has been at this spot at one time in their life, where you can't see, well, I don't understand, you know, different things, and we're going to talk about some of these things tonight, but different things just fog your vision, where you can't see properly. Me and my wife, I can tell you God's truth. Me and my wife, we've never honestly had an argument. I don't think that should be necessarily abnormal, okay? We say, Brother Chad, why haven't you ever had an argument? Now, we've disagreed about things, okay? But you know, most of the time when me and my wife disagree about something, if I take a step back, like what I'm talking about tonight, and I look at it from a different, okay, whoa. I'm looking at it on for my benefit, not for her benefit. And you know what? Most things in life, you know, it doesn't really matter. Now, there are some things that do matter. standards, convictions. You know, if I have a conviction, that matters to me. But most things, me and my wife agree on those things. So it's little things. It's little things in life, you know. She wanted, last night, maybe weird, but we were working on drawing out diagrams or blueprints for a house. And believe me, I've drawn 20 different blueprints. And it's just like, because I've got the builder's part and she's got the aesthetic part. So she wants it to look a certain way. And I'm like, if it doesn't function well, I'm like, we ain't doing it, you know. Well, there again, I could live in a pole barn with a $20 bed with, you know, $2 million worth of tools, you know, a 4x4 bathroom, and, you know, a Coleman stove shoved against the wall with, you know, to cook on. But that's not what she wants, okay? So I got to take a step back and say, okay, what does she want? You know, because she has to live in the house, you know? I'm not going any farther on that one. I'm going to get in trouble real fast on that. But we agree on, you know, but it's because what's my focus? Well, my focus is, well, if I can't get a semi in that shop, it's not worth having. And hers is, well, you know, I want the house to look nice so we can have people over. Okay, yeah. But if I can't get a semi in the shop, it ain't worth having. You know, that type. And I have to, you know, at some point you kind of got to, oh, okay, I got to refocus. This is not, I'm not building my shop at this point. I'm building a house for her, okay? And so it's all in the way you see things. What was the difference in the two men and the rest of the spies? What was the difference? I believe it was what they were focused on. It was what they were focused on. Look at we stopped at verse number 25. Look at verse number 26. Bible says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, so they gave him, okay, this is good, this is great. Here's the fruit. So at first they were focused on the fruit, but then they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So they're saying, whoa, we can't do this now. So their focus was not on the promise of God. Their focus was on the challenges that they had to go through to get the promise of God. Okay? But then we see here one of the men that we know the name of, verse number 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it, are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. It was a matter of perception. It was a matter of what they were focusing on. I'm gonna cover maybe four things tonight about things that you should be very careful about focusing on. Because you say, Brother Chad, I've got this turmoil. I've got these things. I've got problems in life. Hey, don't we all have problems? Every one of us have problems. And if you don't have problems, you're not doing something, okay? It reminds me of a general. He was out, and I've already told this illustration, but he was out, and he was surveying. They were doing trench warfare, World War I, I think, and he was surveying his troops, and every once in a while, they'd hear this shot ring out, and the general's like, what was that? And it was coming from the enemy side, and it would hit somewhere in the camp, and the general's like, what was that? And one of his sergeants said, oh, there's a sniper over on the other hill, an enemy sniper on the other hill. And the general said, why haven't you taken him out? And the sergeant said, well, he hasn't hit anybody yet, and we're afraid if we actually take him out, they'll put somebody in there who can actually shoot. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. But you know, if you don't have problems in life, you're missing a whole bunch of stuff, okay? Because life comes with problems. That's just part of life. But some things that we focus on that I don't think that we should focus on, okay? Number one, well, let me illustrate this first. I think it'll help you, all right? And I was going to make you all something to take home with you, but I just didn't have time, honestly. So you're just going to have to pretend with me, okay? So everybody stick your finger up, just like you. There we go. It's okay. It's not. I'm not asking for money. I'm not doing anything like that. Stick your finger up. Okay. All right. Now, everybody look at your finger. Just look at your finger. Isn't it funny? Everybody looking at your finger. You all are cross-eyed. You should all be cross-eyed at this point. Look at your finger. Isn't it funny how everything past your finger is blurry? Now, look at me. Keep your finger there. Look at me. What became blurry? Your finger. See how what you focus on predominates your life? And that's true in life. If all you focus on is your finger, everything else, everybody else's problems, everything that's around you are blurry. Well, that just doesn't matter. No, it matters. If all I did was focus on my finger through life and walk through life like that, I'd be a pretty sad person. Because I don't affect any of these young people or any adult. I don't care about anything that you're going through. That would be a pretty sad existence if all I focus on is what is right in front of me. And so we're going to talk about that just a little bit tonight. I don't want to help you because this has helped me. It's about focusing on something that's bigger than you. It's about focusing on something that's more important than what your little owie for the moment is. You know, I come home all the time. My hands are always beat up just because I work with my hands. And there's no man in here that doesn't work with his hands that's like that, okay? You just come home, you're beat up. And then my girls, you know, they get a hangnail. And you'd think it was the end of the world. And they have to show it to, you know, and you can't even see it. Daddy, look at my finger. Well, you can't see it, but it's a big deal to them. It's a huge deal to them. But why? Because they're focused on their finger. Hello, folks. I'm not trying to be facetious here, but it's going to come across as real facetious, so brace yourselves, okay? They are four and five. If that's all you live in your life is the mentality of a 4- and 5-year-old, you really ought to look at life a little bit different. Because there's a lot of other people around you that are going through a lot of other stuff. And a lot of it's a lot bigger than what you are. A lot of it's a lot bigger than what I am. And this has helped me in life. Because, listen, I'm a selfish person by nature. I admit it. I'll be transparent about it. I'm selfish. But you know what helps me not to be selfish? Is not focusing on me. Okay, so we're going to dive into this, and I want to challenge you on some things. Don't focus on something from your past. Don't focus on something from your past. I brought something, and I don't know if this is appropriate or not, so I'm just going to do it. Okay, how many's ever heard of the statement, there's a pink elephant in the room? You ever heard of that? Okay, there's going to be a pink elephant in the room tonight. All right, so I got a pink elephant, and I'm going to put this right here. Pink elephant. Now, if everybody looks at that, what are you focused on? The pink elephant, okay? How do you stop focusing on the pink elephant? You have to look at something else, okay? You have to look at looking for that blessed hope. Because when you stop looking at the pink elephant, I mean, okay, in the whole decor of this auditorium, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb, okay? So you have to look at something else. So you have to change your focus from, okay, I can focus on this and knit and nag about this, or I can focus on something else. And you know what? There's things in your past, and this is the first point I've got. We're just going to go there. There's things in your past that if you focus on your whole past, you know, some people, you got to forget. God, if God forgave you and it's in the past, then you need to put it in the past. okay? The past. And some people, that's all they focus on. Well, I'm just focused on the past. Well, if this is right in front of your face, you don't see anything else but the past. And some people live their whole life literally in the past. And they can't, if you can't get past the past, Brother Chad, how do I get past the past? Look at something else. Refocus. Look at something else in life. Look towards, how about this? Look towards your future. Luke, take this for me. Take it back to Brother Klein, okay? You know where your past should be? Behind you. Because if you're always turning around looking at your past, you're not looking to where you're going. And you know where your past ought to be tonight? Is behind you. Hey, you know, some of you, young people, a lot of you have lived a Christian life and you don't have a bad past. And praise God for that. But some folks in here, you've got maybe something that you're not proud of. You're not happy that that happened. You know what you need to do? Put it behind you. Put it in the past. Listen, if God forgave you, somebody said this not too long ago. If God forgive you, are you more godly than God? If God forgave you, you should forgive you. Okay? But sometimes we so focus, well, this is just the past. I'm going to focus on... Listen, that means you're always turning around. Now, I'm not real intelligent, but walking backwards isn't generally good for your health. Okay? Don't dwell in the past. Okay? So don't focus on the past. Don't focus on the past. Hey, it could be a personal issue. It could be something with your person. Well, sometimes it's stuff that you can't control. Maybe it's a health issue. Well, I've got a health thing. Okay? But do you live your whole life focused on that? You know, this is probably the biggest one for all of us, is because we're naturally selfish people. It's like I said earlier, I'm a selfish person. And I think if you honestly get down to the nitty-gritty about it, most of us are kind of selfish people. You know one thing that the missionaries have really convicted my heart about is how unselfish they are. How they've given their whole life, forsaken everything. And you know what it basically comes back down to? What they were focused on. They weren't focused on themselves and the career that they could have and all the nice things that they could have. And they were focused on something farther down the road. So it's your person. Some people are so focused on their opinion. Well, it's my way or the highway. You know, other people have opinions too. Just throwing that out there. And not all of them are wrong. Do you ever the idea ever cross your mind? And this, it really crosses my mind a lot because it's proven to me quite often that my opinion is wrong a lot of times. Something I thought was true is not true. Okay? So you got to be willing to, okay, I got to look past that. But sometimes you, number one, is so close in front of you, you can't see anything else. Okay? So your person. Don't focus on your person, on yourself. Don't focus on yourself. And, you know, a lot of this is going to come back down to is a selfishness issue, all right? Because for a lot of people, number one, themselves, is the pink elephant in their life. They can't look past it. Well, they care about how they look. They care about their social standing. They care about whatever. It doesn't matter. You got to look past that. Okay? You say, Brother Chad, how do I look past that? It's huge in my life, whatever this could be. Well, I'm going to tell you at the end, okay? Very biblically. It could be people. This is another huge one. People. Well, I just don't agree with that person. You know, I could pretty much say all problems in a church, all problems in a family, are because you're focused on people that you probably shouldn't be focused on, or problems with people. You know, if you live a Christian life, you got to deal with people. Hate to break it to you, but you do. Now, I don't like people. I don't. Brother Chad, you should like people. Show me that in the Bible. It tells me I have to love people, but I don't have to like them. I don't know how those two go together, but it doesn't tell me I have to like them. But people. People. Some people, I'm sorry. Some people just get under my skin. They do. And I'm sure I get under some people's skin in here. My wife particularly. But you just, some people are like, oh, I just can't stand. You ever got that one person that's like, I cannot stand to be around that person. They will not be quiet. You know what I mean? But people. People are sometimes something, it's oh, I just can't. Listen, if you leave a church because of a person, listen, the only reason you should ever leave a church is because God tells you to leave a church. If you leave a church because of a person, you are focused on the person, not what you're supposed to be focused on. Okay, that's truth. There's no lie about that. If you get disgruntled in a ministry because of a person, you're focused on the person, not the ministry. If you leave the bus ministry because, you know, a person, you're in the bus ministry for the wrong reason. And that's true for any ministry. I don't care what the, well, I just can't, I'm just going to quit the nursery because I can't stand to be in the nursery with a so-and-so. Well, your problem is you're focused on the person, on people, not what you should be focused on. Listen, I'm going to make mistakes. Everybody's going to make mistakes. But do you focus on my mistakes, or do you focus on what we can do together for God? If you can get over that mindset, I think it'll help you a lot. It'll help you a lot in life. It could be another relationship. We're talking about people here. I've seen this a lot, and I think it was even true in my life. But you know that there's a statement that says love is blind. That is a very true statement. Because sometimes a young person, young people, you're going to get to this place, and I want to encourage you, I'm going to be an encouragement to you later. You're going to get to a place where, oh, I'm in love with this person. And because you think that you love this person, all the red flags that everybody else sees, you can't see because you love that person. It happens. But you have to, and where I'm going to get to this later, I will get to that later, but I'm going to tell you how to overcome that. But you can't, listen, folks, and I know maybe this is very elementary, and maybe it's too complicated. It's such an elementary, but it's such a far-fetched thought process that you have to overcome. But you have to accept people as people. One of my professors in college said, the best of men are men at best. I thought, damn, that's good. The best of men are men at best. We're just men. I'm just flesh, just like you are. Okay? So people, young people, I'm not so far removed from being in high school and, I've only been married 7 years, so I'm not so far removed that I don't remember what it's like to have those dreams, to have those feelings that you go through. I still remember it. But don't be so infatuated with a person that you throw everything away for that one person. You got to focus on something, on something that's bigger than you. It's funny how when you focus on something like I had you do just a while ago on your finger, how things become distant that maybe seemed, or when you look past, if I'm looking at Brother Jeff, my finger, it's of no consequence. And we see young people and we see adults that go through times in their life when they struggle and they struggle and they struggle, and you want to reach out and you want to help them and you want to make decisions for them, which we can't do. But it's because they're stuck in the middle of a little patch of woods, and if they can just get out of that little patch of woods, they'd look back and say, oh my goodness, that was nothing in life. It could be a problem. So people, so we have your person, which is yourself, that many times takes up everything that we see, all right? It's the pink elephant in the room. It's the thing that causes you the most problem. It could be other people. This one person, I just can't. Well, look past that. Look past that. Hey, and there's one thing, another thing. It's problems. Now, we all have problems, all right? We all got problems in life. That's not unusual. But are you going to dwell on the problem, or are you going to look past the problem and see what's on the other side of the problem? Okay? I got a couple of illustrations about this. But listen, all of you have problems. I'm not denying that. I'm not saying you don't have a problem. And I'm not downsizing your problem. I want you to downsize your problem. I want you to take this problem that is right here, and it's bigger than life, and everything revolves around this problem, and I want you to look past the problem. And this comes smaller. I'm just trying to give you something practical to help you. And I'm going to give you some hands-on stuff here in just a moment. If you focus on the negative, the blessings and the positives will pass you by unnoticed. If all I'm looking at is this, all the blessings go by 100 miles an hour and I never look at them and I never say thank you for all the good things about somebody. Young people, let me say this, and I didn't write this one on the paper, but it could be the rules. Now, hang with me just a second here. Sometimes as a young person, I remember doing this, so I'm not saying you're doing something I didn't do. Sometimes as a young person, you see the rules, and all you see is the rule. It's the rule. They just said we can't do this. Yada, yada, yada. In the girls' bathroom. Yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada. This rule, this rule, this rule. Okay, let me help you. Don't look at the rule. Look at what we are trying to accomplish with the rule. Well, they just say we can't hold hands. Whoa, whoa. Most of these guys you don't want to hold hands with. Okay? Anyway, I'm not going there. But you know what you do? Well, we just can't hold hands. You know why they say you can't hold hands? Why we have a no-touch rule? Why we say you need to dress in a certain way? Why we do certain things? You know why I want my kids to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir? You know why I have rules? Why I tell my kids to obey? Instant obedience is of utmost importance. They can get mad at the, you can get mad at the rule, or you can look past the rule and say, okay, what are they trying to accomplish with this rule? I guarantee you, God knows my heart, I would never ask one of you young people to do something that would hurt you. And I don't think Pastor would ever ask, I know he wouldn't. He would never ask you to do something that would hurt you. Amen. Your parents love you, and they wouldn't ask you to do something that would hurt you. So quit fussing about the rule that's right in front of you and look past the rule to the result that we're trying to accomplish. And if you can look at the result, you'll sit back here and thank God for the rule. If a cow goes up to a fence, sorry, this goes back to farm terminology. But if a cow goes back to a fence and he's always trying to get out of the fence, most people don't know, but fences are not for to keep the cow from something he's going to enjoy. A fence is to protect that cow from something that will hurt him. A cherry tree. If a cow eats a cherry tree, what happens, Brother Josh? Leaves on a cherry tree. They get sick. They could easily die. I've seen farmers put fences around cherry trees. Not because they're trying to keep the cow from something that it wants, but they're trying to keep that cow from dying. And young people, if you can get past this thing where this rule is here, it's in your face. Well, take a peek over and look at what we're trying to do. And I think if you can accept what we're trying to do, you'll accept what we're doing right now. Okay? So it could be the rules. It could be the rules. Let me say this. If your happiness is dependent on someone making you happy, you will be miserable much of the time. If your happiness is dependent on making someone else happy, your happiness can be expressed at any moment. Think about that. If you're focused on, well, if they, everybody just needs to do something for me, you're going to be a miserable person. But if you say, well, wonder what I could do for that person. I love doing that. Wonder what I could do for that person today. And you know what? It does something to your heart when you do something for somebody else. When you look past this and look at something else, you can look at the storm or you can look at the creator of the storm. Chad, that sounds like an ecumenical statement. Maybe, but it's a true statement. You want me to prove it? Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26 through 31. What's happening? If you go to that passage, the disciples are in the middle of a ship on a storm, in a storm. They're scared. All they see, suddenly they see somebody walking across the water. And Peter, and they're, it's a spirit. Long and short of the story, Peter says, Jesus, can I walk on the water? Absolutely, come on out. He climbs out of the boat, starts walking. Everybody blames Peter for falling through the water. Nobody else has ever done that. Starts walking across the water. What does the Bible say? But when he saw the wind and the waves boisterous, he started to sink. You know what happened? He took his eyes off Jesus. He said, Lord, save. I don't think he said, Lord, save me, and still looking at the waves. I think he said, Lord, save me, and he looked right at Jesus. And this brings us to our first point. What do I do when I have one of those pink elephant things in my life I just can't look past? Number one, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. When Peter took his eyes off the Savior, he saw the waves and the wind. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Go to Hebrews. We're going to go quickly now. We're going to use your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 12. Like I said, I'm not downplaying that this stuff happens. All of us have these problems, these people, our own person. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All right? So we need to look unto Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I love this story. Hey, you know what? Caleb and Joshua didn't focus on the giants. They started looking at Jesus. When you compare your problem to Jesus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Turn your eyes on Jesus. You know what Caleb and Joshua saw? They didn't see the giants of the land. They didn't see the sons of Anak. They saw God that could take care of the sons of Anak. It's a matter of what you're focusing on. 1 Samuel chapter number, I tell you, 16? 17. 17. Very familiar story. Verse 42, when the Philistine looked about, he saw David. Verse 42, 1 Samuel 17, 42. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know what? You know what David said? He said, I don't even see you, you Philistine. All I see is the God that's standing right behind you. And you're going to have to answer to him. You know what David had here? He had a people problem. He had a big person right in front of him. But he looked past that and said, nah, God will take care of you. And everybody will know that there's a God in Israel. So look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Number two, so first of all, what do I have when I got one of those things in my life? Refocus. Take your eyes off of this. Look to Jesus, okay? Second thing, look past the problem. This is real simple. Look past the problem. Look past the problem. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I should have had you hold that. I'm sorry. I apologize. I meant to. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I only read the first part of that verse, and I did that on purpose, because the second part goes with the second point. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what? This also tells us to look to Jesus. This verse tells us to look to Jesus. But why could Jesus go through all that he went through? Why could he do that? You know, he was looking past the problem to the result. He was looking past the scourging, and he saw your face. He was looking past the crucifixion, and he saw me. He was looking past all that to see something that he was going to obtain. A person can go through almost anything if they know they can get what they want at the end of it. They'll go through a lot of stuff. And Jesus saw us. Jesus overlooked his problems and saw my problems. Listen, it'll be a great day in your life if you can overlook your problems and look at the problems of somebody else. It will be. It'll be a great day in your life. The things that your parents and your pastor encourage you to do and make rules, they're so that you can be happy one day. Look past the rules to what the rules can produce. God never promises you will not go through a valley. He doesn't promise that you won't go through a valley, but he promises he'll be with you in the valley. And usually on the other side of a valley, there's a mountaintop. So look at the mountain, not the valley. Look past the problem. Look past the problem. Number three, so we first of all, look to Jesus. Look past the problem. Number three, look on eternal things. Look on eternal things. We get so caught up in this life. And you know what these missionaries have done in the last month? They've opened our eyes to an eternal. Me and Brother Levi were talking about this morning after the bus. We have our weekly theological discussion after the bus on Sunday mornings. It takes us, I sometimes I'm home to like 3 o'clock because we're talking about things. But, you know, the things that it kind of makes me ever, and maybe some of you other guys are like this, but you're sitting there and you listen to these missionaries and you're like, yeah, and what did I do last year for God? What did I do? These guys, reaching, they got Bible colleges all over, having guys training to serve God. In the last 13 years, you started, 15 churches? And what did I do? You know what they're doing? In a way, if you'll let them, they're peeling it back and saying, hey, what's your focus on? What are you looking at? And then tomorrow, we go back and we focus on this right here. And we forget about all that. Look on eternal things. Pastor Robert Ross said, live your life with one eye on the judgment seat. That's a good way to live life. This goes right along with looking past the problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A few more places and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Paul, he's saying our light affliction. Look at what Paul went through in life. He's like, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Get your eyes off of this and look past. Look on the eternal things. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 12. The Bible says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Look past today and look towards eternity. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 4, verse number 35, Brother Fitzsimmons mentioned this verse this morning. John chapter 4, verse number 35, the Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes." You know what he's saying? Pick your eyes up and look out there. The fields are white, already to harvest. All right? So look on eternal things. Look on eternal things. Number four, so number one, look to Jesus. Number two, look past the problem. Number three, look on eternal things. Number four, look on others. Look on others. John 4:35, we're there, okay? You know what he's saying? Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know what he's saying? Take your eyes off yourself, excuse me, and look at some people that need God. Look at some people that need some help. Philippians chapter 2, I think. Yes, Philippians chapter 2. This is the last reference. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3. Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." It doesn't tell you to be nosy here, okay? That's not what that's saying. That's saying don't just pay attention to what's happening in your life. Care about something that's going on in somebody else's life. Okay? Why? "Let this mind be in you." So that was in the mind of Christ. Let this mind, what? What we just read. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." Why? Because he was looking out for me and he was looking out for you. "And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Okay? I reference children's church a lot of times, okay? I try to do kind of what the Apostle Paul does. I try to be all things to all men so that I may win some. Most of you would think I was totally nuts in children's church. But you know what? You got to get to their level. You got to reach them where they're at. "Well, Brother Chad, what do you mean I got to reach a drunkard in the bar?" No. Some people use that as a license to sin. No, that's not a license to sin. But you got to reach somebody where they're at. Listen, you know young people that are in Bible school, vacation Bible school, you know what a big deal in your life? You know, you get up here, this is what happens, and I'll tell you, I was where you guys were when I was your age. But it'll be a good day in your life if you get up here. And it's really silly that we think this. But we get up here and we don't want to express ourselves in a skit. Or we don't want to do something. We don't want to be crazy in front of the kid. I mean, Mrs. Walton wants you to be, you know, she wants you to be crazy with the kids down there. She wants you to sing with them. Well, I can't. "Jesus loves me, this I know." Okay, you're scared of a 4-year-old? I'm afraid what they're going to think. She's 3. You know what they'll think? Is if you get down on their level and you're crazy with them and you show them that you love them, they'll think, "Brother Chad loves me." But I have to get past looking at me, and I have to see that little girl that comes in, and her mom and dad got a divorce last week. She doesn't completely comprehend everything that entails. But she needs to know that Brother Chad loves her. But I have to do that, I have to quit looking at this and I have to look at that. I have to refocus. And kids in our school, they all got, you know, and I say this in the senior saints class, but hey, folks, these young people, they go through things too. You know what you need to do? I'm being maybe harsh, but quit looking at just you and your, you know, elite group of whatever. Look at them. Do you know their name? Do you know where they live? Do you know a bus kid? Well, that young man on the fifth row that was sitting by so-and-so this morning, he just was not behaving. I shouldn't let him come back. Do you know where he lives? Do you know his name? You know, well, he just won't listen to me. Hey, you, sit up straight and tall. Hey, you. I wouldn't listen to you either. What about, hey, hero. Hey, Ethan. Ethan. His name is Ethan. His name was Cordell. That's his name. He has a name just like you. What if I come up to you, hey, you. Hey, you. No, they got names, and they go through things. Yeah, they should behave. Okay, I don't think they're here. Let's rewind 4 years ago with Christopher. Christopher. Some of you know who I'm talking about. I won't say his last name. Christopher. If some of you had your way, you would have kicked him out and never allowed him to come back. I'm here to tell you that boy's got more potential. I was skating with him at the skating rink. If he treats life the way he treats skating, that boy's going to do something with life. I would have given him hands down an award for falling down the most times. But you know what? Right back up. Five steps. Right back up. Five. And then you got Christians. Oh, this is just too hard. I can't do the Christian life. Okay. But his name's Christopher, by the way. Brother Chad, do you have problems with him? Every once in a while, but most of the time I can say, hey, come here. What's going on, man? You're not wild like this normally. I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't do that. Well, you guys sit right here. All right, Brother Chad, I'm sorry. Why? I'm not nobody perfect, and there's a lot of kids I don't know their names, to my fault. But I want to look past this, and I want to be willing to get down there and get my suit dirty. If he's cold, I'll give him my suit coat to wear. But I got to stop looking at this, and I got to look at that. Because if all I focus on, and this is true, this is true in everything in life. Quit looking at this and look at that. Refocus, okay? When I just get discontent or unhappy or have something go wrong in my life, I always try to do something for somebody else. If I have a problem, I purposely go to try to help fix somebody. Okay, I just bought a truck. Some of you know this, some of you don't. I just bought a truck. I drove it less than 700 miles, dropped a valve in the third cylinder, blew the engine up. Okay? Not a pleasant experience. Especially when you're talking about a Cummins engine. This isn't one you go from the local junkyard and buy, okay? I could have just had a rotten attitude about all that. But on purpose, I would come to school on purpose. I'd buy the kids Mountain Dews for the teachers' benefits. You know, give them. You know what I was trying to do? And you know it helped me. I could have been angry. I could have been mad. I could have been upset. No. I didn't have the extra money to go do that stuff, but I didn't want to focus on this because if I knew if I focused on this, that's all I would see. And everything else would go past me in a whirl. Invest in something else. Do something. Hey, when you're short on money, this helps me too. This goes against all financial advice except for the advice that you'll get from the Bible. When you're short on money, go give money to somebody. And don't expect anything in return. Just give it. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Hey, when you got a problem, go fix somebody else's problem. When you need help with something, go help somebody else first. It's amazing. You'll get a call. Hey, Brother Chad, I got the day off. Can I help you with something? Huh. Fancy that. Sure. Come over. It's looking past yourself. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while still thinking of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. What are you focused on? 12 men went to Canaan. And the only two that we know of are the ones that focused on the right thing. Something to think about. It's practical stuff. Something you can take this week and think about. Okay? Just take it. When you're having a bad day, go help somebody have a good day. And you'll be surprised how good it'll help your bad day become. All right? Let's pray. Father, just a very simple truth tonight. Lord, thank you for not being selfish when you looked down from heaven and you saw that man needed a Savior. Lord, thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for thinking of these young people. Thank you for thinking of the adults. Thank you for looking down and seeing my children that would one day need you. Lord, help me to look past my problems, look past the people problems I have, look past the personal problems I have. Lord, help me to look to you. Help me to just look past those things. Help me to look for eternity. And Lord, just help me to look out for other people. God, I pray that you just be with us tonight. Just pray that you were honored in everything that was said tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.